Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
All right. Greetings, viewers and listeners. I'm Meat Hook Jim with the Wrestle Horror Podcast. To my left or my right, depending on how you're looking at it, if you're watching, is my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what's going on?
Oh, man, what's happening here? A lot of stuff going on, getting ready for the holidays. Just finished up with the holidays, so we're doing good.
Right. And our special guest on this episode, we went across the pond to the UK, and we've got Chris Regan. Is it Regan?
Regan, excuse me.
Chris Regan with us, and he's a filmmaker and a writer. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me. Thank you.
We've been excited since I got your email and this paintball massacre. Let's start with that. This has just got my curiosity piqued.
Sure.
So tell us about Paintball Massacre.
It's a slasher film. I mean, it's a proper old school slasher film about this group of school friends that get together for a reunion, and they're all kind of in their kind of sort of late 20s, early 30s. And they sort of meet up, and then they go for this this game of paintball the next day. And when they get there, people start to die fairly quickly. And They realize there's this sort of psycho going around, sort of picking them off one by one, and they're in the middle of nowhere, so they have to sort of try and get out. But they're also, there's a bit of a mystery to it as well, and they're trying to figure out who it is. And I don't want to give too much away, but it came out in the States yesterday, I think. So
well, being that I'm a huge slasher fan, I'm putting a big old circle around that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And my two watch list.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Donnie is a huge Jason fan from Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Even though I did it right. I screwed it up. Even though I got Pennywise in the background. Yeah, I have a trouble doing my directions. I screw it up all the time.
Yeah, I rewatched when I wrote it. I did rewatch all the Friday the 13th films. I'd seen them before, but it'd been a while, so mm-hmm. I did go back through all those ones again. And I'm a huge horror fan in general. So it was it's good.
Well, that's a great segue, because I was going to ask you, what got you interested in horror?
I think it's just something I've always been into. I was really, I think one of the earliest films I can remember watching was Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, okay. Which I think my dad showed me to me when I was a kid, really. But that was sort of, I think that was kind of the gateway into everything, really, because from that, I used to watch the Bela Lugosi Dracula, the Todd Browning one. I was really into that as well, and Frankenstein, all the Universal films. Right. I used to watch when I was little, and then from there, in terms of like writing as well, I got into Clive Barker sort of fairly early on when I was a teenager, and that's that was really interested in that, I think going into the films again, like Hellraiser sort of is one of my favorite films. That's okay. definitely up there. That's sort of I think still think that that film still really holds up today. It's still sort of really interesting and one of the best horror films ever made, I think. But
I can't agree with you more about Hellraiser. It's on the top of my list. The only one I wasn't too big a fan of was the remake, where they didn't have Doug Bradley as Pinhead.
Oh, I haven't seen any of those ones. I've seen all the Doug Bradley ones. And then the last two I haven't seen. Because, I mean, it was, they get sort of progressively worse as they go on anyway. But they sort of, the fifth one's really good. I can't remember. I think that's Inferno. Number five I really like, which is the one that Scott Derrickson did. I think that's a really good one. But I worked with Doug Bradley on 10 Dead Men, a film that I wrote a while ago. So he hates the fifth one. he really likes, his favorite was the third one.
So. Okay. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet Doug Bradley several years ago at a convention. Oh, and we talked to him with my other podcast, and such a pleasure. You look at him and you can't see Pinhead, but you know he's Pinhead.
Yes, yeah. No, he's great. Yeah, and he's got such an amazing voice, and yeah, he's great.
He does. So let me ask you this: being in the UK, I know you guys have your scare attractions and things like that. Are you a big fan of going out to those and checking those out?
Yeah, well, I went to the first time I did anything like that was I went to Universal Studios in LA and when they did their Halloween thing. So I guess it was a long time ago, like 2007, I suppose. But and then I think over here it's never been as big a thing. But there was one I went to last year. There's a farm. I live on the South Coast. And there's a farm near in Sussex that do Tully's Farm, and they do a big sort of scare attraction. Obviously, they didn't do it this year, unfortunately, but they have sort of, you know, several different mazes and things. So I love stuff like that. I think it's amazing. But I was working on, and it wasn't an official thing. I was trying to write something based right. on scare attractions once, because I got obsessed with Makami Manor.
Oh yes.
So I kind of I got sort of obsessed with that YouTube channel, and the guy who runs it, and it's the whole thing's sort of fascinating. So I don't know what you make of it, because I know some people sort of he's sort of on the outskirts of things, really, isn't he? He's not really
he's very polarizing.
Yes, that's what I'm looking the word I'm looking for.
You either love him or you hate him. I'm friends with Russ McCamey.
Oh really? Okay, cool.
I am, and there a few years ago we were talking about doing some work together. It didn't pan out because he wasn't sure where he was going, but it kind of borders on torture porn.
Yeah, I think this is what I found interesting, was the watching the videos. It was the psychological, it was the more than what's actually happening to people. It was the psychological stuff that I thought was really interesting. He'd always say to people, he'd constantly be saying like, oh, you're only at the beginning. There's loads more left, and there's so many worse things coming up, and people have been doing it for 4 hours or whatever, and there was things like that. I just thought it was and the whole thing of Tiff sort of doing it for free it's really really interesting. But I had an idea of sort of doing I wrote this script about a sort of horror maze that was, it was kind of like a sort of slasher film, but mixed with a bit of Sunset Boulevard mixed in. And it was this sort of horror maze that was run by former horror actors. So that was the idea, who then kind of take it too far in a kind of McCamey Manor type thing, but I couldn't really get it going. But I spent a long time watching McCamey Manor videos, but I do love all that stuff. I think it's great, and I think it's one of those things. And I think the problem, maybe that happens over there too, but over here, I think this sort of, because you really have to sort of embrace the kind of fun of it. I think in a horror maze, you have to sort of go in and understand that it's just sort of fun, and that it's obviously that it's safe, and I think people over here struggle. I don't think they've taken off as much over here, because I think people struggle a bit with that. Sometimes they sort of.
Now, would you do the McCamey Manor stuff yourself? Would you?
No.
Sign up?
No, I did. I did go through I did sort of get the kind of. I emailed him once and got the kind of sign up form, and there was no way I was going to do it, but I was kind of curious as to
see the process.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean it's the. Yeah, it's the thing with the horror maze is you know it's not real. You're not actually going to get hurt, and that's fine. And I think, and obviously the intention, I know obviously Russ McCamey's intention is not to hurt people, but there is obviously some sort of there's a mm-hmm. sort of mental torture there, and there is people are getting physically. I mean, there was that other one as well, wasn't there? That was it, Blackout. That was that was sort of quite extreme. I watched a documentary about that, and then, yeah, that stuff doesn't like. Yeah, that I'm not that interested in, but in doing myself, I'm fascinated in the process.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, I don't mind watching it and shaking my head, but it ain't nothing I'd sign up for.
Yes.
The reason I brought that question up, I mean, obviously from the fact that you do horror and everything, is that Donnie actually used to own a haunted attraction, and I just retired from acting over. Oh gosh, I can't remember how many years I've been in a haunted attraction actor, but I just recently retired.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better than scaring the piss out of somebody.
Right. Yeah. 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 I can imagine.
It's quite an experience. And the first time you scare somebody, it's like you want more and more and more. Just like when you in your movies, you want to give people that thrill and you want to keep them scared, keep them on the edge of their seats.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's something I really enjoy experiencing myself. I think that's what, you know, I've always been into, being scared. So I think the idea of doing it to other people is sort of, it's fun. And I really like the kind of irrational fears that you get from horror films, like because I really love supernatural horror films and paranormal things, but. But I don't really, I'm not scared of that stuff. Like I don't believe in ghosts or anything. I don't think that stuff's sort of going to get me, but there is that. So I do like that sensation of being scared by something that, you know, can't possibly exist. I don't know. Well, right. for me anyway, it's, it takes you out of real life for a bit. It's nice.
It's that what if factor.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
What if this were to happen?
Yeah.
What existed, you know, and that's what sticks in the back of people's heads. Let's talk about a little bit more of your work. You mentioned 10 Dead Men earlier.
Yeah.
And tell us about that.
Well, that was it's an action film. It was really like very low budget. We sort of did it, so I'd been working on a web comic. I mean, this was going back to sort of about 2005. And I'd been working with these guys in Brighton, near where I live, on this web comic. And they'd done a film before and had this, wanted to do something else. So and brought me on to write it. And it's a basic revenge thing. It's like a Point Blank, the Lee Marvin film, was very similar to that. So a guy is sort of killed by his former gang mates and left for dead, and then he comes back and takes them out. But it was filmed in a very kind of organic way, because we were filming it at weekend, you know, everyone had day jobs, and we were filming it weekends and evenings and whenever we could. A lot of the script kind of developed around what was available and which actors were available and things like that. So there were a lot. It's got all these huge sort of set pieces in it. I mean, there's a fight at the end that's really full on. Probably about 30 people die, and it's kind [S2] Wow. [S1] Of, it's got explosions and all kinds of like it's got a great stunt team. The guy who did the fight choreography is really good, and you know, loads of people worked on it, have gone on to do sort of other things. But we had this kind of, it was by the end, it was a bit of a mess. It was kind of all these different scenes sort of together. They were all kind of scripted, but then we kind of had to go back to the script, and it was a sort of process of pulling it all together. And the way we did that, was there was a voiceover in the script that was supposed to be for the main character's point of view. And then one of the producers had this idea, Phil, he had this idea of bringing in Doug Bradley. I think he sort of got in touch with his agent already and worked out that we could afford him. And thought, well, okay, what if you get Doug to do the voiceover instead? And it didn't make sense for Doug to do the voice of the character, because they look completely different. But so instead I wrote it as this kind of weird, kind of dark fairy tale, where it's this So Doug's kind of narrating it as if he's telling you a story, and it becomes this kind of gangland fairy tale, I suppose. It's yeah, it made it quite unusual, and it's yeah, it's a very odd film, and it is very, very low budget, but I still think it works. It's got some good fights in and stuff, and Doug's narration really does make it something a bit odd and unusual.
Okay. Yeah. Well, 10 Dead Men, that was your first film, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the first one. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So I'm still really proud of it. And that was really how I got to Paintball Massacre, because so Darren Berry, who directed Paintball Massacre, he was the DOP on 10 Dead Men, and Brendan Carr, who was the lead actor in 10 Dead Men, he produced Paintball Massacre, and he was also he acted in it as well, but it was the two of them that got me the job on Paintball Massacre, which is obviously cool. Many years later.
Speaking of Paintball Massacre, while you were talking, I went on to Amazon and on Amazon Prime and added it to my watch list.
So. Oh, brilliant. Oh, I hope you enjoy it. Yeah.
I'll be ready.
Yeah. That's going on my watch list as soon as we get off of this. So.
Cool.
So, you know, I'm looking over your information here, Chris, and something that caught my eye here was you wrote and directed a transmedia horror series called Paz versus Stuff.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. So I had this idea a few years ago about, I came from a few places. It came from wanting to do something, like make something that was kind of achievable, but I also was fascinated by YouTube and YouTubers and the whole sort of YouTube culture. And so I sort of had this idea, what if there's a fake YouTuber, and then you look into it and find, yeah, loads of people have done this already. But it sort of stuck with me, and I developed this story about this YouTuber who is she makes videos about horror films and stuff, and she starts to get trolled by someone on her channel, and then that person then starts trolling her in real life. So they sort of start turning up outside her house and things. And I thought, well, what if I do that, but do it in as if it's really happening? So we sort of present this YouTuber as a real person, and that she will be on Twitter and very active on social media, and it would all be, yeah, presented as real. So I probably took it a bit too far in the end, but it sort of it was a really interesting experiment. I don't know. I mean, it's all on YouTube. I mean, obviously, it doesn't quite work as well, like without the. You used to be able to, obviously, when I was running on Twitter, you could interact with the character and things like that. But all the videos are still on YouTube. But yeah, I filmed it all in my shed, just outside my backyard. So that was good. That was part of the reason for doing it as well, was just to be able to do something that was really small, and sure, that we could do with just just me and my brother helped with the sound and things. So yeah, but it was good though. We got, like, at one point I was writing as the character for an online magazine, who didn't know, who just assumed it was real, and then Paz, the character, was sent, got to go to a film premiere as the actor went as the character, and we got quite far with it, and then another YouTuber sort of outed us. He sort of found out and kind of did this big kind of video about how awful it was, and that was it. And I was kind of wrapping it up by then anyway, because it was it was an interesting thing to do. And I think I did it a lot of the time. I did it, I sort of assumed that people knew that it was fake. But I think at the end we got quite a few angry comments on the last video, and I think a few people had sort of bought into it more than I'd perhaps realized.
You're going to have your critics no matter where you go.
I mean, yeah, well, yes.
But, you know, obviously I'm going to have to go to YouTube and look that up as well.
The one I recommend starting with is she does a video. I can't remember the exact title, but it's one of the early ones, and she does one about the four most obscure horror films, and she sort of lists these four films, one of which is fake. But I don't give away which one, though it's pretty obvious when you watch it. But I did a lot of stuff like that where I was just kind of like messing with people, really. She'd present these four films and one of them's fake. But then obviously in the comments, people start saying, oh yeah, I've seen that film. And so I just sort of like enjoyed that.
So, you know, you're a screenwriter and you're an author. Did you go to college for writing or...
Yeah, I did. I did screenwriting. I did a master's in screenwriting.
Okay.
At the university over here. Which I don't know if is necessary, really. It was good for spending a year just concentrating on writing. That's I think that's the. But I don't know if. I remember when I finished it, I went back to, because I'd been writing scripts, but just for myself since I was a teenager. And I went back, after I finished the master's, I went back to some of my early scripts thinking, I can just completely rewrite these now because all the structure and stuff that I've learned and all these things, they'll be terrible when I can, but I'll know how to fix them. And I look back at those early scripts and actually the structural stuff was all there. Because it had all kind of come from just watching films. So I didn't necessarily need someone to sort of, I don't think it's necessarily a route that you have to go down, but it was definitely worthwhile for sort of focusing me on it, I think.
Well, I'm sure it certainly helps with cleaning up and editing your writing.
Mm. Yeah, it does. And I've done some of the jobs that I've done have come through at that aspect of it, really, being brought on as a script editor rather than, and that's kind of led to sort of all the contacts and things. But yeah, I mean, that is something I'm quite good at spotting where the issues are with scripts. So yeah, I think that probably did come from that.
And the reason for that question is, I dabble in writing a little bit.
Right.
And I've written a short story that I'm hopefully going to have published soon.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm talking to some people in the horror field, and hopefully I can get into a magazine or even on an e-zine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something I do from time to time. I've got another one in my head that I'm ready to write, just finding the time.
Yeah, well, is it a horror story?
Yes, both of them are. Yes,
right, brilliant. Yeah, well, I think the thing is, I mean, I started writing. I started with short stories. And I was always intending to write novels when I was younger, but I became obsessed with films and everything, and that I focused more on that. But recently, I've kind of gone back to prose, to writing novels, because more for the freedom, but also just being able to finish something. Like, I think with films, because it's partly because it takes so much money to make a film, but also because it's so collaborative, it can be I mean, I suppose it's two different things, really, but I think the money part means that quite often the projects will just go up, like sort of will take years and years to be finished. I mean, Paintball Massacre was actually quite quick, and I think even then it's been over 2 years since I wrote it. So it's been it's been really good to actually sort of write something and then finish it, and then it's out and you're like, that's done within a few months. But I think in some ways, more importantly, because I've gone down the self-publishing route on Amazon, but part of that is because I spent so long working with producers and directors, and you kind of, with screenwriting, you're constantly getting notes and constantly getting sort of feedback, and you're sort of forever sort of rewriting, and I just really wanted to do something that was just me, and right. they just put it out and go, there, it's done. Like, yeah, that's sort of but yeah, so that's where, but yeah, I think it's definitely, yeah, it's much more liberating writing stories, I think, and be able to just, because then you've got a finished thing that's just there.
Right. Well, again, I'm sorry, Donnie, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that leads into my question about, like I said, a couple episodes ago, I mentioned where I'd taken my wrestling character and I'd rewritten it and changed it to make it a slasher character. I'm kind of like writing a book on it, and I've got the outline and some of the meat, but I kind of got stopped because I'm not a writer. But then as I did that, I was like, you know, because one of my like dreams and one of my goals in life is to play my own, like play a slasher killer in a film, you know, like a Jason or any, you know, like be my own slasher Vic killer. And right. So when writing a book or like a horror book versus a script, how big of a switch is that, like mindset wise? I know the structures are different, like a script has to be structured a certain way. But you know, but I know that you don't have to be as descriptive in a script as in, you know, like getting people to see things in their mind or whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of cheating a bit, because what I'm doing with the books is using scripts that I wrote that never went anywhere. So I've already got the kind of, so Jenny Ringo, the character, it was a feature script that I mean, I've made short films about the character and stuff, but I wrote this feature script a few years ago that did really well in a few competitions, and everyone who read it loved the script, but because it was a comedy as well, whenever I took it to anyone professionally, it just became clear what they weren't. No one was keen on making horror comedies, because they, which I mean, Paintball Massacre is a horror comedy, really, but it's sort of a comedy. So because it had a lot of effects stuff and things, so I became obvious I was never going to, wasn't going to get it made that way. So I'd used that as a basis for the novels, and I've kind of split it up. So into sections, and kind of in each section is a sort of short novel. Structurally, I kind of got, I use the same structure as the script, but it is that it's filling in the blanks, really, because with screenplays, it's really about, in terms of what's written down, it's really about economy and you know, communicating a lot in as fewer words as possible, whilst also, like, the art of it is sort of being able to do that whilst also giving enough to suggest character and screenplay dialogue, like, some people disagree on this, but I think screenplay dialogue and especially in genre films, like in horror films, shouldn't really be naturalistic, but it's not how people talk really, but should have enough of that, it should have a flavor of it, so it doesn't jar, so you think that person's talk that sounds realistic, but it's really this sort of stylized version of how people talk, because you're also trying to deliver plot and kind of move on to the next thing, whereas in a novel you've got much more room to explore all that stuff, but you also have to kind of, because the visual kind of fills in the blanks when in a film, obviously you sort of present that image and people can see the kind of what's there and the nuances when people are talking, but you do have to fill all that in. But again, I am sort of cheated with the books I've written so far. I've cheated a little bit because I write them in a very kind of, they're told in first person, and they're done in a very sort of, what's the word? The character who's narrating the stories is quite eccentric, so he kind of goes off on tangents and all over the place. So, and that's kind of how I kind of got to the word count, I suppose, by kind of adding in all these random sort of bits. But I'm trying to, next year I want to try and, have a go at kind of straight horror as well in prose. I've got a few well, I've got a few more horror scripts basically that didn't quite make it. So I'm like, well, okay, I'll take some of those and and try and turn those into books as well.
Yeah, that's called repurposing. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Well, the cheating. Thing is, that these sort of ideas, the ideas are good, and often it's not. You know, often those films didn't sort of go into production not because of the quality of the writing, but usually because of money not coming through or various other reasons. But then they were just films that I wrote for myself that I then tried to pass on to people that just didn't go anywhere. So it feels like a waste not to do something with them. So yeah.
Okay. It's very clever, actually.
So that kind of segues into my next question, and I wanted to talk about your books. And Jenny Ringo is a consistent theme in your books here.
Yeah. So she's the protagonist of the first of this. Yeah, I've just written two, and she's the protagonist of those. And yet, like I said, she started as a character in screenplays, and then I made a few short films with the character, now she's in these.
Well, I see you've got a Jenny Ringo creepy Christmas story that came out on the first.
Yeah, which is free. That's available on Amazon. It's called Christmas Chopping, which was a reference to Chopping Mall. my own worst enemy, really, because I do just sort of, they're full of references that are probably about five people will get, but
okay.
That one's about, it's sort of, so the overall arc of the story is Jenny's a witch, and she, in the first book, which is called The Library of Lost Souls, she sort of causes an issue in this university library, and everything kind of goes, she's experimenting with magic and it all goes wrong. And she ropes in this student at the university called Gavin, and he kind of helps her. They sort of play off each other quite well, and they sort out this problem. But at the end of it, he's kicked out of university and they end up moving in together. But where they live is this, there's something, they're kind of stuck in, they're in this sort of block of flats in Brighton, and there's something odd about the people there, and Gavin's not sure that they're even allowed to go out because of various reasons. I won't spoil the whole thing, but like, and the Christmas one is about them sort of going out together on Christmas Day to sort of explore the world on Christmas Day, and because people don't usually go out on Christmas Day, you know, people are usually sort of inside with their families, they go out and they find that the town is kind of overrun by kind of ghosts and monsters and all kinds of spooky things, but like friendly spooky things at first, and there's a giant spider. it's very silly, it's a comedy, but at the same time I always try and make sure that the horror stuff is sort of is serious. It's the way the characters react to it that's funny, but there is some kind of, I think there are some quite strong kind of horror ideas in there.
Well, I can tell you right now that my wife would get to a giant spider and then stop.
Right? Yeah.
I can't have any kind of spider in this house without her saying something about it.
Right. So. Well, no, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I can't deal with spiders, which is, I think that's why I put it in there, because, definitely right what you're scared of.
So Jenny Ringo has become quite the character. Apparently you even have a website.
Yeah. I mean, there's not loads on it at the moment, but if you go to jennyringo.com, there's just a mailing list. Cause I do a newsletter every month or so. And there's a blog where I've got a few things about, I think mostly I've just a few things about witches. I did a thing in October on the, there's an Instagram page for the, for as well, for Jenny Ringo. And I did a sort of different witch film, covered a different witch film for every day in October. I didn't quite make 30 in the end, or 31, but I got stopped at about 25. But so, but yeah, I wrote a blog about that. Yeah, but it's still quite early. I mean, this happened really, the novels kind of happened because of coronavirus and being sort of having more time to do things.
Right.
So it's only really, it's quite a recent thing. It sort of all happened this year. So I would definitely recommend you go to the website and sign up to the newsletter, and then next year I'm working on the sort of, so there's the first book, then the second one is the Christmas one that's like a side story really, and I'm working on the official second book at the moment, which is a lot more ambitious than the first one. So that should be quite cool when it comes out.
And what about this, where you're working on films for the Jenny Ringo?
Yeah, so I made three short films. So I guess 2010 was the first one. Okay. I had this, again, it came out to this sort of, I think this is a pattern, but this desire to just want to do something. I've been working on, there was a film I'd been working on at the time with a production company in Brighton that had really been a lot of work, and it's one of those ones that would have been huge and got really close to being sort of going to production and then kind of fell through at the last minute. And I suppose sort of out of frustration from that, it was like, well, I need to make something. So and by that point, because of doing things like Tender Men, I had quite a lot of contacts and you knew I could put a crew together to do it. So we made this short film, but it was really ambitious. So the first one's called Jenny Ringo and the Monkey's Paw, and it's based on the Monkey's Paw short story.
Okay, and
it's Jenny and her flatmate Gavin, and they sort of come across a monkey's paw, and Gavin makes some very sort of ill-advised wishes, and then Jenny has to kind of sort it out. But there's a musical number in it, and a friend of mine has started. He's actually a lecturer, but as part of his lectures, he'd started designing creatures and making little puppets and things. So I got him involved, and there's a creature in it. Yeah, so everything, I just thought, I kind of approached it like, if this is the last thing I ever do, or the only film I make that where I've got full creative control, I'm just going to put everything in it. So it is all in it. but you can watch the films. If you sign up to the mailing list on jennyringo.com, you'll get a link to the films. Which are free, but I've just kind of hidden them on my website to kind of get people to sign up. But yeah, they're all there. I mean, they're quite bizarre. They sort of, I had this idea of turning it into a web series. That was how it turned into three, I suppose. Is that the first one I really, had its problems, but I was really happy with how it turned out. And I thought, okay, well, let's try. So the second one is more kind of, there's more of an idea of like this monster of the week. It's like, oh, this could be a thing. And then the third one's a very short one, but it was almost to try and show off all the sort of stuff we could do if it had developed. But all of which I'll kind of reuse for the books. But
Well, based on what you've told us, and you mentioned earlier, you have a thing for the supernatural. This just kind of falls right into place with that mindset.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've always been sort of more interested in the stuff I really like. I really like when magic's done well in films, and it very rarely is. Like, it, I think too often it's just becomes an effect. But you know, things like The Devil Rides Out, I really love, and Night of the Demon. I don't know if that's got, is that the same title? I can't remember. That's the same title over there. But the things like that, I really like sort of films with the sort of So I tried to get Jenny Ringo's kind of come based on that kind of that tradition. Really, this I really like the idea of sort of magic being this thing where you can somehow alter your reality, but then it does have this great potential to go wrong.
Excellent. Donnie, I'm gonna ask you this, to ask Chris. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna put you on the spot, Chris.
Okay.
Because Donnie has a question we ask of all of our guests, and you being a screenwriter and a horror author, like I said, we're gonna put you on the spot. So Donnie,
like he said, this is something we ask everybody. It's kind of a fun little thing. And the question is, you are the main character in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
What is my go-to kill? So I'm the killer. Am I the... Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I think it would be something sort of... It would be along the lines of like Wishmaster or something like that. The kind of the taking the thing that the person thinks that they really want. I know I'm going into this is more magical than kind of slasher film, but taking the thing that person really wants and turning it into something that kills them. I think that's, I always like stuff like that. I think that's the route I'd go down.
Yeah, like, oh, nice, look at this lovely, beautiful puppy. And then all of a sudden it just...
Oh, yeah, and it's a giant dog wolf thing that he bites the head off. That kind of thing. Nice. Well, they did some, they do some nice ones in the Leprechaun films. Is that, I think it's Leprechaun 3, someone wishes for loads of money, and he gets just gold coins just inside his stomach. And stuff like that.
Okay. You know, I got to say that ever since we started asking this question on our show, we've gotten so many unique answers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's really repeated any answers we've asked for. So that's great. I mean, I love your take on it. Our last episode, our guest was talking about how he would be the, he would construct the mousetrap and let things happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. He would set the trap and then just sit back and watch everything, watch them basically kill themselves.
Right.
Much.
that's dark. Yeah.
So, you know, your Wishmaster type thing, in itself is unique. So we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. What we want to do now is we want to get everybody listening and watching to find out more about you and more about your work. So what's all your social media? Where can people find out more about Chris Regan?
Well, I suppose where am I most active? I mean, definitely go to jennyringo.com for the book. I'm on Twitter. I'm CG_Regan. And that's probably a good place to find me as well. And all my kind of links are on there. If you want to see what I've worked on, I think I'm Chris Regan 5 on IMDb. So,
Chris Regan 5. All right.
Yes,
I'm writing them down.
of the Chris Regans. But and I think, those are probably my ones. I mean, Instagram I tend to use a bit just to mostly to talk about horror games, but
Okay. Cool. Yeah, Chris, it has been absolutely a pleasure having you on the show. And I'm glad you're a night owl because, like you said, 12:45 now?
Yes, no, that's fine. That's fine. I'd still be playing video games, so it's okay.
All right, what's your favorite video game?
It's so hard. I really loved the Resident Evil 7.
Okay.
Resident Evil 7, because I played it in VR on the PlayStation VR, and it was horrible. That was one of the most horrifying things I've ever done. I don't know if you've tried it, but I mean, it's very similar to being in a horror maze. You know, there were sections in that that are, hideous.
I definitely have a PlayStation VR. I don't have that one yet.
Oh, it's worth doing. I would definitely get that one.
Have you done Dead by Dawn?
No, I don't think so. No, no.
I would try that. They've got one called Dead by Dawn Buckets of Blood.
Oh, okay.
And it's all circus based and just really creepy.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, cool.
And me personally, I'm a Star Wars fan, so my wife bought me Vader Immortal recently.
Oh, yeah, I've got that. I've tried it. I haven't really got into it yet, but yeah.
Okay, you can't see because I've got the virtual background going on here, but I've got a case behind me that's got Darth Vader's helmet, and I've got a lightsaber next to it.
Oh wow! Okay, have you done Squadrons? Have you played Squadrons? The Star Wars Squadrons?
Not yet, but I'm going to purchase it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's really good. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So we'll throw a little video game stuff in there. My name is Meat Hook Jim. Listen, you can catch us on WrestleHorror.com. You can catch us on Facebook at WrestleHorror, Twitter at WrestleHorror, Instagram at WrestleHorror, the WrestleHorror channel on YouTube. Don't forget to check out Chris Regan's stuff. Go to www.jennyringo.com. Watch his films. Check him out on Amazon. Read his books. Chris, thanks again for coming on to Wrestle Horror. And we hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, it was great. Thanks very much.
All right. We will catch you all on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.